Real music, real interviews, real information. That's why we call it Real Gospel with the X-Man.
Professor Wilbur Belton with Holly, Holly, Hallelujah. The Lord is high above the heavens.
The Lord is high above the heavens.
And His glory above the nations.
And His glory above the nations.
The Lord is high above the heavens.
The Lord is high above the heavens.
And His glory above the nations. Real Gospel is the place where God gets the glory and artists tell their stories. I'm honored to have this anointed man of God with us on the program today. the one and only Professor Wilbert Belton. Welcome to Real Gospel.
Thank you, sir, and thank you for having me. It's a pleasure being on the air today.
Yes. You know, your music, I mean, no wonder they call you the professor. I'll start there. But before we get into this great music from this this awesome project, I always like to start, when possible, by sort of saying to that individual who just found Christ on yesterday and they're new to gospel music, they're new to artists and really don't know too many people. Tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and where you're from and how you first fell in love with Jesus.
Well, I was born and raised in the church all my life. Starting at the age of 3, I started in my music career, started playing for the church at 10, and I just had a love for God. And I grew up in a family home where I have preachers and elders and bishops that are part of my family, and we just grew up going to church, loving God, experiencing God's presence in His service. So that's kind of like my background, where I started. The roots of my musical growth was from my home life and being brought up in the church.
So where exactly is home for you?
Home for me is Washington, D.C., and I attend the Church of Jesus Christ, where my brother, my eldest brother, Bishop John T. Leslie, Jr., is my pastor.
Okay. Church of Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's Church not, of Jesus Christ. That's not of Latter-day Saints, though, is it?
Oh, no, it's not a Latter-day Saints. No.
That was to the listeners, if you belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I'm just playing off of words. That's all. Don't y'all get upset with us. I'm just saying, making a distinction.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's all. So DC, there are so many things going on in DC. I guess we'll that's a subject for another time. But So professor, you have a degree. Why do they call you professor?
Well, I've had a love for music all my life. I studied music in grade school. I majored in music education in college. I mastered and got a doctor's degree of music studies and research. And so I've been dealing with choirs and church choirs. I'm a music master. I supervise 2 churches' music ministry. I direct, arrange. I write curriculums for church music ministry so they can function better. So that's what I do. I have aside from singing and producing my choir, I have a business called Excel Productions, which handles all musical studies, all musical experiences. If you need a choir, if you need a musician, if you need someone to help you build your music ministry, I write curriculums for your music ministry. I work with pastors to embellish their music ministry. So that's what I do on a daily basis.
Wow, that is an anointing and a gift. And you are the first person that I can think of. I'm not going to say the first, but I would imagine that not only are you a sought after person all over the country, possibly all over the world, you should be, but there is such a distinction with what you do. And I guess if I can explain, I went to seminary and one of the toughest classes I ever had was Black hymnody and the history of, I mean, I just did not know so much went into music. And music theory, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. So, what caused you to want to go so deep into understanding music and the writing of music and the arranging of music, and not just sort of just rely on the anointing and the gift, but you decided to go to school and get it done?
Well, I grew up in an apostolic Pentecostal church.
Oh.
And back in the day, I was playing on acoustic piano and working with choirs. And I realized choirs wasn't sounding too good in your church. And it's just to be real, choirs wasn't sounding too good. And I asked the Lord to send me to school so I can learn how to make music ministries in our churches sound better. I understand community choirs, they are hand-picked voices that most choir directors, they hand-pick their vocals. But when you walk into a church you want to walk into a church where the church music represents the persona of the pastor. And I needed to know how to make that happen. I had to study music ministries and study pastors' personality. And a lot of ministers of music don't know that their work is done by the personality of the pastor. All right. When you walk into a church and I hear a lot of hymns, I should know that the pastor likes a lot of hymns. When I walk into a church, maybe young pastors, and you hear maybe up-tempo arts and praise and worship, I know there's a young pastor that he likes praise and worship. So your music ministry in your churches should fulfill the persona of the character of your pastor, because he's the ultimate worship leader.
You know, I thought so, but I wasn't exactly sure. I always wondered. Yes. If you haven't blessed anybody else, you blessed me today, because I've been in church a long time too. But I've always sort of, sometimes you can tell, and then sometimes it's hard to say, and so, but wow, that is so. What about how much of, well, I guess we will talk about this project. I'm so sorry. What is the relationship like between the music department and the pastor? What should that be like? Is the music department, are they a ministry of helps? I mean, what is that? What should that relationship be like?
Well, that relationship, first of all, should be a relation where they both complement each other. You have some pastors that are musicians too, and sometimes they override the job of a minister of music, and it causes conflict. But when you walk into a church, the pastor and the minister of music should have a relationship together, that they work together, because one needs the other to help function. And so you have to have that relationship one to another. And then you have to realize that the minister of music is not out there by himself. He has to work in relationship to the pastor, because the pastor is the visionary of the church. And in order for the minister of music to get his job done, he has to know the vision of the pastor and seeks to do that. The pastor must be pleased with how the worship experience is performed or executed. If not, the minister of music is out there by himself making a name for himself, but not going in accordance with the Spirit of God that works with the leader, because there's only one initial leader, and that's your pastor.
Wow.
And sometimes minister music gets it twisted. They think it's all about them, but it's not. We work for the pastor.
Yes.
And ultimately, the pastor has to be pleased with the worship experience.
Wow. See, I could go in a whole nother direction with that conversation. But again, it's time for us to talk about the Live in London project. So why London, though? I haven't been there. It's on my list of places to visit. But why London, though?
Well, look, London is, if you've never been there, the UK and the foreign field areas or country, they have a love for music, and the way they worship music is different from the USA. And when I got that opportunity, I didn't want it to pass. And so I traveled over to London, and when my group went over there, the first night we were in service, it was like their worship experience was so authentic. And when they put my group up to sing, you could feel the anointing. I mean, we could hardly get through a song. You could just feel the anointing. It was such an impact.
Wow.
And it was wonderful just to see them all worship. We did some on my project, it has a song that I do. I did a rearrangement to Halle Hallelujah from Judy McAllister. And when we did it, had that Caribbean beat, and you should saw the people coming up close to the stage doing their dance in their country. It was so amazing to see them worship the Lord authentically. And, you know, we have never experienced that before. I mean, you know, we have our way of coming to the stage now, and we just jump up and down and say, go ahead and sing. But they were actually worshiping like it was a praise-a-thon.
Wow.
It was just absolutely wonderful. The way they respond to the presence of God, I will never forget that experience.
Wow. I've heard that about overseas, especially when it comes to ministry, that
right.
and music in general, that a lot of the things that we take for granted here in the United States,
yes.
they gravitate towards it. overseas in some places, Germany and the UK, and they just really love it. I'm loving Holly Hallelujah. I mean, as soon as the first time I heard the song, I felt like I was back in church. I felt like I was back in the choir. I pictured myself as a young adult, as a child, growing up with the hymn book out. I mean, it just took me back to another place. What else can we expect from the project live in London?
Well, it gives you a American view of how we worship God. And I have some original songs on there, and I put some songs on that CD from popular artists in the USA just to give them a American way of how we worship the Lord. And mixed with the UK worship was just a phenomenal experience. There's only one Lord, and all of us know that if we unite ourselves together, we can worship the Lord together. It didn't say you have to worship the Lord in the USA this way, and you worship the Lord in the UK this way. We all worship in the Lord, and when we bring our cultures together and unite our cultures, the Lord can truly bless us. And that's what happened with this experience. We took the American worship culture over and blended with the UK culture, and it was an explosive experience.
Wow.
Explosive, yes. Mm.
What is one of the most amazing things that you have seen in terms of what God has been using you to do and the witness of the manifestation of how your gifts have made room for you on the other side of the world? What's one of the things that just you looked at it and just said, my Lord, my Lord?
Well, I looked at the experiences, like going to UK. I would never thought I would be over in a foreign land singing my music over in the foreign land. I just didn't think that would ever happen. But that was an experience within itself. And also, I've been on TV. I was on that Bobby Jones show when he had Bobby Jones Gospel. And my group was asked to back up a couple of artists, and then we were asked to do our own music. And I've always looked at Bobby Jones Gospel on Sunday morning and said, wow, that's such a wonderful experience. I just wish one day I could be on there. And one time I had that opportunity. And they said, Professor Button, you're going to back up this artist, but we want you to do one of your songs. That was phenomenal. I was able to use what the Lord created me to do and sing it to the world at large. And this is before I even went overseas.
Wow.
And so that was a wonderful experience to be on Bobby Jones as well, that you be on gospel, Sunday morning gospel. And for me, I consider my group, I use my group for workshops when I do workshops, and I use them as a demonstration of how you would sound or how you would look or how you would worship the Lord when you do things the right way. So I usually bring my group on. I do a workshop for whoever needs me to do a workshop. And then I have my group to come and sing. I said, this is an example of where you should be.
Mm-hmm.
If you do everything I've told you to do, and if you follow these steps, music directors, and follow these steps with your vocals, and follow these steps with your band, perhaps you may sound sort of like this. And I use them as my demonstration when I do workshops. So it's called demonstration of learning. I bring my choir room to demonstrate how it should go, or how it should sound, or how it should perform, or how you should worship the Lord, or all of that stuff. It's really incredible. I don't know if anybody else do that, but that's what I do.
That is amazing. That is simply amazing.
Yeah.
Well, the one and only Professor Wilbert Belton, his CD project is called Live in London. Professor, how can the listeners find out more about you? How can they get their hands on this project? And give us some information about the church and church services.
Well, the church services, we're doing virtual live. Our Church of Jesus Christ, that's COJC. In Washington, D.C. I'm also a part of Trinidad Baptist Church there in Washington, D.C. And you can pick up the CD from any of the live streaming platforms. We're on Spotify. Just released a new single last March called God's Anointed.
Mm.
You can pick that up on Spotify, go to Amazon.com. and pick that single up. It's called God's Anointing. I just released that last March before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna do a video on it, and we're gonna do a spend on it, and we're gonna keep it going once we come out of this pandemic, and we're gonna push it forward, and we're working on completing that whole project as well.
Amen. Support this anointed man of God, the one and only Professor Wilbur Belton. Wilbur Belton, thank you so much for spending time with us on Real Gospel.
Sure. And thank you for having me. God bless you.
You're listening to Real Gospel with the X-Man. And the Real Flashback Song of the Hour is on the way.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it.
800-670-0940. 800-670-0940. 800-670-0940. That's 800-670-0940.